Welcome to worship at Stavanger Lutheran Church. Special welcome to any first-time visitors. We're glad you're here, and hope to get to know you, and hope you come again. We have a few announcements, and they are printed in the bulletin. Tuesday night Bible study is resuming this Tuesday evening, and if you can contact me for more information, the title of the study is Jesus Wins. It'll be an overview of what the Bible says regarding end times prophecy, and start meeting at you can contact me for the location. I need to verify a detail on that first. I just realized. So my contact information is on the back of the bulletin, and be welcome to be a part of that. Shady Oak Bible Studies is still on Wednesday, and if you want to find out more about that, contact Pastor Giovanni. And note that on it was August 29th, Gideon's ministry was here, sharing about their ministry of Bible distribution, and offering of $290 was received for that ministry. Coffee will be served following worship. Yay! Let's hear it. Good to return to that. So please stay, if you can, following worship downstairs for some refreshment. And coming up, another hooray, the harvest party at Stavanger. This has been a fun thing in years past. Saturday, October 16th, 4 to 7 p.m., costume parade, young and old. It's really some fun, creative costumes. Encourage you to think of fun and creative things. And we have other activities with that, leaf pile, chili supper, and harvest food walk, fish pond, and more. So, information on your Amber bulletin insert, and you can find out more from Faye Baylor or Kathy Thompson, and more information on that to come. Any additional announcements? It looks like we have one from Tammy here.
Just a reminder that the retreat season is starting now at Inspiration Point Bible Camp, and there's all kinds of information on the bulletin board over there. Middle School Mania for grades 6 through 8, and Fall Fest for grades 3 through 6. And if you have any other questions, let me know. Stavanger will give $50 per person to go to a retreat, so for the kids. So if you have any more questions or if you need more information, let me know. Otherwise, check out the bulletin board.
Thank you, Tammy. All right, any other announcements before we begin? Good. Well, let's begin our service with the call to worship from Psalm 54. Save me, O God, by your name. Vindicate me by your might. Hear my prayer, O God. Listen to the words of my mouth. Arrogant foes are attacking me. Ruthless people are trying to kill me. People without regard for God. Surely God is my help. The Lord is the one who sustains me. Let evil recoil on those who slander me. In your faithfulness, destroy them. I will sacrifice a freewill offering to you. I will praise your name, Lord, for it is good. You have delivered me from all of my troubles, and my eyes have looked in triumph on my foes. O Lord, you are our help. You are the one who saves us and sustains us. And may you receive our offering of praise to you this day, and may we hear from you and praise your name, for you are good. You are our rock, our redeemer. We pray this in the name of Jesus, your Son. Amen. I invite you to rise as you're able as we worship the Lord in song. We'll worship the King, printed in your bulletin or on the screen before you.
Of days, pavilioned in splendor and girded with praise. Oh, tell of his might, oh, sing of his grace, whose robe is a light, whose canopy space, his chariots of wrath, the deep thunder clouds form, and dark is his path on the wings of the storm. Thy bountiful care, what tongue can recite? It breathes in the air, it shines in the light. It streams from the hills, it descends to the plain, and sweetly distills in the dew and the rain. Frail children of dust and feeble as frail, in thee do we trust, nor find thee to fail. Thy mercies, how tender, how firm to the end. Our Maker, Defender, Redeemer, and Friend.
Let us confess our sins. Almighty God, our Maker and Redeemer, we poor sinners confess to you that we are by nature sinful and unclean, and that we have sinned against you by thought, word, and deed. Therefore, we flee for refuge to your infinite mercy, seeking and imploring your grace for the sake of our Lord Jesus Christ. O most merciful God, who has given your only begotten Son to die for us, have mercy on us. And for his sake, grant us forgiveness of all our sins. And by your Holy Spirit, increase in us true knowledge of you and of your will, and true obedience to your word, that by your grace we may come to everlasting life. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, has had mercy on us and has given his only Son to die for us. And for his sake forgives us all our sins. To those who believe on his name, he gives the power to become the children of God and bestows on them his Holy Spirit. Whoever believes and is baptized shall be saved. Grant this, O Lord, to us all. Amen. Let us confess also our Christian faith using the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of God the Father Almighty, from whence he shall come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Glory be to God. to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Amen.
Congregation may be seated. As we turn to the Lord in prayer, are there any additional prayer concerns that you would like to have us pray for together? Okay. We received a request regarding Pastor Gary Kitchen, who is a former pastor here at Stavanger. He's hospitalized and had back surgery this last week to relieve pain, weakness, and numbness, and as of yesterday, he's still in the hospital as some levels are off and they're working to stabilize him. And he's had a fever and some other things here. So we'll pray that he recovers well, and there is some good news that he's gained some feeling and the leg weakness has, there's been an improvement with that. So we'll pray for Pastor Gary and also our for Dan Venberg, who will be speaking at Elam Lutheran Church in Clearwater. Dan Venberg works with Lutheran Brethren International Missions, and we'll pray for his work. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for your mercy, for your care and concern for us, for your willingness to give us good things, even more than we are to ask. Lord, we do pray for all who mourn, who struggle with illness and injury. We pray for Pastor Gary and for his recovery. We pray, Lord, that his health would improve and that he would be able to be released from the hospital soon. We thank you, Lord, for the signs of success from the surgery, and we pray these complications would be resolved quickly, and that you would grant him your peace and comfort along both him and his family. We pray too, Lord, for those among us who face concerns of health. We pray, Lord, that you would be their peace, their comfort, and their healing. We also pray, Lord, for unrest in our nation and around the world. We pray for civic leaders, that you would grant them wisdom, favor, guidance, courage to do what is right and good in your sight for the benefit of people at large. And especially, Lord, in places where your people who are called by your name, followers of Jesus, face persecution, may you protect them and strengthen them. And may their witness, Lord, be a bold testimony to draw others, even their persecutors, to you. Lord, we pray that we would remain faithful when faced with such situations, and that you would give us courage and strength. We pray, Lord, for Dan Venberg as he speaks at Elam Church today, that the people there would be encouraged by what they hear of your work through Lutheran Brethren International Missions in the various fields. Pray that you'd help Dan as he seeks to assist and mobilize congregations in their vision and support of your work around the world through LBIM. We pray, Lord, for the ministry of Stavanger, that you would continue to bless us to be a blessing to our neighbors. Help us, Lord, to be steadfast in your word, to grow, and to seek you and receive you each day. And we pray, Lord, for the blessing of the preaching of your word and upon Pastor Eric as he comes. Lord, may you open our ears, give us ears to hear, hearts to believe your word this to us this day. We ask these things in the name of our Lord Jesus, who taught us also to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
At this time, I'd like to invite all the kids up. Hey, guys. Good morning. How are you doing today? Good. I've got something special with me today. I've got something really special in this box here. And if any of you can guess what it is, you can keep it. Whoa. What do you think it is? Yeah.
Candy.
Nope, not candy. Yeah. It's not the Bible. It's not bread. What do you think? Yeah.
Another box.
Another box. It's not another box. What do you think? What's in here? Any guesses from the adults?
Flowers.
Flowers? Not flowers. Yeah. Another present. Well, it depends how you define it. No.
I get the crown.
Guys, it's a little plastic potato. Didn't you know that? No? It's hard to guess when we don't know, isn't it? Sometimes it can be really confusing. All these guesses, you don't know who's right. In this case, none of you guys were. Well, it kind of reminds me of our Bible story for today. Jesus had come into the world, and all of these people were making guesses about who he was. Some people thought he might have been like a prophet, like we see in the Old Testament. Some people thought he was going to be this political conqueror that would, you know, defeat all the enemies. And there were all these different guesses, and people were confused about who this person, Jesus, might have been. And you know what? Nearly all of their guesses were wrong. Nearly all of their guesses about who Jesus was wrong. He wasn't this political conqueror. He wasn't merely a prophet or a wise teacher. Jesus Christ is God himself, who came into this world to save us, even when we don't understand, even when our guesses are wrong, even when we're confused. Jesus Christ came for all of us because he loves us, so that we might live with him. Isn't that good news? That even when you're confused, even when you don't understand, Jesus loves you. Yeah, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for sending your Son, Jesus Christ, to redeem us, to bring us back to yourself, even when we don't understand. May you bless us and keep us in you today. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. You guys can go be seated. Can't believe none of you guys guessed plastic potato. It's so obvious. Our gospel this morning is found in Mark chapter 9, verses 30 through 37, and I invite you to rise as you are able for the reading of God's word. They left that place and passed through Galilee. Jesus did not want anyone to know where they were because he was teaching his disciples. He said to them, "The Son of Man is going to be delivered into the hands of men. They will kill him, and after 3 days he will rise." But they did not understand what he meant and were afraid to ask him about it. They came to Capernaum. When he was in the house, he asked them, "What were you arguing about on the road?" But they kept quiet, because on the way they had argued about who was the greatest. Sitting down, Jesus called the 12 and said, "Anyone who wants to be first must be the very last and the servant of all." He took a little child whom he placed among them. Taking the child in his arms, he said to them, "Whoever welcomes one of these little children in my name welcomes me. And whoever welcomes me does not welcome me, but the one who sent me." This is the word of the Lord. You may be seated. I heard this story about a man who, although he was very much alive, he believed that he was dead. His wife and his friends were understandably very concerned for him about this, and they urged him to go see a psychiatrist. The psychiatrist determined to cure him by convincing this man of one fact that would contradict his belief that he was dead. He decided to use the simple truth that dead men don't bleed. He put his patient to work, reading all kinds of medical textbooks. He even made him observe some autopsies. And after weeks of effort, the man finally came around and said, "All right, you've convinced me dead men don't bleed." Promptly, the psychiatrist grabbed a little pin and poked the man on the arm, and the blood flowed out. The man looked down at his arm with a contorted face, and he cried out, "Good Lord, dead men do bleed after all." It's amazing how often what we believe is shaped by what we want to believe. The man in this story wanted to believe that he was dead, and he held on to that belief despite clear teaching to the contrary. In our text this morning, the disciples are holding on to something that they want to believe is true. In the previous chapter of Mark, Peter proclaimed that Jesus Christ is the Messiah. At this point in Mark, the disciples have witnessed all kinds of miracles during Jesus' public ministry. He has healed the sick, and he's cast out demons. He's walked on water, fed thousands of people, both Jew and Gentile. He's even raised the dead. Jesus was bringing the beginning of the kingdom of God on earth. And the disciples wanted to believe that the coming of this kingdom meant a present deliverance from all evil, a conquering of all of their oppressive enemies, and the reign of peace and prosperity on the earth now. This is what the disciples want to believe, and it is a belief that they will hold on to. Immediately after Peter proclaimed that Jesus Christ is the Messiah, Jesus began to teach them what being the Messiah looked like. He told his disciples, "The Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders, the chief priests, and the teachers of the law. He must be killed and after 3 days rise again." This revelation of what it is that Jesus came to do couldn't look more different from what the disciples expected Jesus to do. And rather than trust in the words of their Messiah himself, Peter takes Jesus aside and he rebukes him. To which Jesus replies, "Get behind me, Satan." We might imagine that this harsh reprimand of Peter set these disciples straight. But our gospel reading this morning shows us that, unfortunately, that was not the case. At the beginning of Mark chapter 9, we have the account of Jesus' transfiguration. And it seems that, at least for Peter, James, and John, seeing Jesus transfigured before them, seeing his dazzling white clothes and seeing Moses and Elijah appear around him, that seemed to only confirm what they wanted to believe about Jesus. That he was a powerful conqueror from God who came to crush their enemies. And ironically, the disciples were exactly right on that part. Jesus Christ was this powerful conqueror from God who came to crush their enemies. But the question of how he was to do this, that's the question they got completely wrong. They saw Jesus' power displayed in his transfiguration, and they wanted to believe that the Messiah had come to wield that awesome power to dominate their enemies with a show of force. So in our passage today, Jesus teaches his disciples again, saying, "The Son of Man is going to be delivered into the hands of men. They will kill him, and after 3 days, he will rise." This must have perplexed his disciples, because here they are looking to Jesus as the one who would deliver them. And here Jesus is telling them, I'm going to be delivered into the hands of men. Not just for punishment, but for execution. We are told that the disciples did not understand what Jesus meant, and that they were afraid to ask him about it. Despite Christ's own testimony about what being the Messiah would mean, the disciples continue to hold on to what they want to believe about the Messiah, which is made evident in their discussion along the road. While they were walking, they were arguing about which one of them was the greatest. Like the builders of the Tower of Babel, they sought to establish their name. They sought glory and greatness. So Jesus sat his disciples down and begins to once again teach them about this upside-down nature of the kingdom of God, saying, anyone who wants to be first must be the very last and the servant of all. Jesus teaches them that the kingdom of God is not about competition for glory or greatness. It is about a life lived in service to the least of these. To drive home this point, Jesus takes up this small child in his arms, and he says, whoever welcomes one of these little children in my name welcomes me. And whoever welcomes me does not welcome me, but the one who sent me. Now, children are pretty low on the totem pole of greatness. After all, children don't even get to make most of the decisions that govern their lives. What to eat, where they go, who they see, what time they hopefully go to bed. All are decided by the child's parents. And in that way, in terms of greatness, children are pretty insignificant. So here, on the heels of the disciples' argument about who is the greatest, Jesus scoops up this little child, as if to say, you're concerned about earthly honor and glory, but those in my kingdom give up their honor and glory and become servants to even the least significant. There is a second century Greek philosopher named Celsus, and he captures just how confusing this upside down nature to the kingdom can be, both for us and for those outside of Christianity. He writes, and by the way, this is an attack on Christianity. He was not himself a Christian. And so he writes, those who summon people to other religions make this preliminary proclamation. Whosoever has pure hands and a wise tongue, whosoever is pure from all defilement, and whose soul knows nothing of evil, and who has lived well and righteously, such are the preliminary exhortations of those who promise purification from sins. But let us hear what folk these Christians call. Whosoever is a sinner, they say. Whosoever is unwise. Whosoever is a child. And in a word, whosoever is a wretch, the kingdom of God will receive him. Do you not say that a sinner is he who is dishonest, a thief, a burglar, a poisoner, a sacrilegious fellow, and a grave robber? What others would a robber invite and call? Why on earth this preference for sinners? Like the disciples, Celsus had a different picture of what the kingdom of God looked like. He observed that all of these other religions, they promise purification from sins, but before that there are preliminary requirements. You have to be wise and pure, living a righteous life, and then after you've accomplished all of those things, then you can receive absolution. Only then can you receive forgiveness of sin. And he noticed that Christianity was not like this. He noticed that the kingdom of God welcomes the unwise, the wretches, the insignificant, the sinners. Sinners like you and me, for whom Christ came, not to conquer our physical enemies, but more miraculously to conquer our sinful hearts. He came not to end all oppression here and now, but to remove the oppressive sting of death, and to give us hope of new life in him. In Christ, God made himself man and allowed himself to be handed over, that through his betrayal and death and resurrection, he might display his victory over sin and death. He did all of this because of the love that he has for us, because of the love that he has for you. So this morning, know that Jesus Christ came for you, that he might draw you into his upside-down kingdom, where the first is last and the last is first, where God himself is handed over to death, that you might receive life. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your patience with us when we don't understand. We thank you for your persistent love, despite the fact that we so often miss the point. For the sake of your Son, forgive us and renew us this day. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Let us sing in response, "Freely, Freely," printed in your bulletin or on the screen in front of you, and you may remain seated. God forgave my sin in Jesus' name. I've been born again in Jesus' name. And in Jesus' name I come to you to share his love as he told me to. He said, "Freely, freely you have received, freely, freely give. Go in my name, and because you believe, others will know that I live. Name, I've been born in him, in Jesus' name, and in Jesus' name I come to you to share his power as he told me to." He said, "Freely, freely you have received, freely, freely give. Go in my name, and because you believe, others will know." Please rise as you're able for our closing chorus. Go now in peace. Go now in peace. Never be afraid. God will go with you each hour of every day. Go now in faith, steadfast, strong, and true. Know he will guide you in all you do. Go now in love and show so all the world can see. God will be there, watching from above. Oh. receive the benediction. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace. Amen.
Blessings flow. Praise him, all creatures here below.